Rashik didn't solve all the world's problems. In fact, with each thing he did fix, he created new issues. However, he was clever enough that each subsequent problem was smaller than the ones before it. So instead of plants that died from the distorted sun and ashy ground, we got plants that didn't provide quite enough nutrition. He did save the world. True, the near destruction was his fault in the first place, but he did an admirable job, all things considered. At least he didn't release ruin to the world, as we did. 18. Sazed slapped his horse on the rump, sending it galloping away. The beast's hooves kicked up chunks of packed ash as it ran. Its coat had once been a keen white. Now it was a rough gray. Its ribs were beginning to show. It was malnourished to the point that it was no longer reasonable to expect it to carry a rider, and they could no longer afford to spare food for it.
"Now that's a sad sight," Breeze noted, standing beside Sazed on the ash-covered road.
Their guard of 200 soldiers waited quietly, watching the beast run. Sazed couldn't help feeling that the release of their final horse was a symbol.
"You think it will be able to survive?" Breeze asked.
"I suspect that it will still be able to poke beneath the ash and find nourishment for a time," Sazed said. "It will be difficult, however."
Breeze grunted.
"Living's difficult for all of us these days. Well, I wish the creature the best of luck. Are you going to join Ariane and me in the carriage?"
Sazed glanced over his shoulder toward the vehicle, which had been lightened, then rigged to be pulled by soldiers. They had removed the doors and hung curtains instead, and had removed sections of the back as well. With the decreased weight and 200 men to take turns, the vehicle wouldn't be too much of a burden. Still, Sazed knew, he would feel guilty being pulled by others. His old servant's instincts were too strong.
"No," Sazed said. "I shall walk for a bit. Thank you."
Breeze nodded, walking to the carriage to sit with Ariane, a soldier holding a parasol over his head until he was inside. Now exposed to the ash, Sazed put up the hood of his travel robe, hefted his portfolio in his arm, then strode across the black ground to the front of the line.
"Captain Goradel," he said, "you may continue your march."
They did so. It was a rough hike. The ash was growing thick, and it was slick and tiring to walk on. It moved and shifted beneath the feet, almost as difficult as walking on sand. As hard as the hike was, however, it wasn't enough to distract Sazed from his troubled feelings. He had hoped that visiting the army, meeting with Elland and Vin, would give him a respite. The two were dear friends, and their affection for one another tended to bolster him. He had, after all, been the one to perform their marriage. Yet this meeting had left him even more troubled.
"Vin allowed Elland to die," he thought, "and she did it because of things I taught her."
He carried the picture of a flower in his sleeve pocket, trying to make sense of his conversation with Vin. How had Sazed become the one that people came to with their problems? Couldn't they sense that he was simply a hypocrite, capable of formulating answers that sounded good, yet incapable of following his own advice? He felt lost. He felt a weight squeezing him, telling him to simply give up. How easily Elland spoke of hope and humor, as if being happy were simply a decision one made. Some people assumed that it was. Once, Sazed might have agreed with them. Now his stomach simply twisted, and he felt sick at the thought of taking pretty much any action. His thoughts were constantly invaded by doubts.
"This is what religion is for," Sazed thought as he tromped through the ash at the head of the column, carrying his pack on his shoulders. "It helps people through times like these."
He looked down at his portfolio. Then he opened it and leafed through the pages as he walked. Hundreds finished, and not a single one of the religions had provided the answers he sought. Perhaps he simply knew them too well. Most of the crew had trouble worshipping Kelsier, as the other Ska did, for they knew of his faults and his quirks. They knew him as a man first, and as a god second. Perhaps the religions were the same to Sazed. He knew them so well that he could see their flaws too easily. He did not disparage the people who had followed the religions, but Sazed, so far, had found only contradiction and hypocrisy in each religion he studied. Divinity was supposed to be perfect. Divinity didn't let its followers get slaughtered, and certainly didn't allow the world to be destroyed by good men who were just trying to save it. One of the remaining ones would provide an answer. There had to be truth he could discover. As his feelings of dark suffocation threatened to overwhelm him, he fell to his studies, taking out the next sheet in line and strapping it to the outside of the portfolio. He would study it as he walked, carrying the portfolio with the sheet on the bottom when he wasn't reading, thereby keeping the ash off of it. He'd find the answers. He dared not think what he would do if there weren't any. They eventually passed into the central dominance, entering lands where men could still struggle for food and life. Breeze and Aurean stayed in the carriage, but Sazed was glad to walk, even if it made his religions difficult to study. He wasn't certain what to make of the cultivated fields. They passed scores of them. Elend had packed as many people as possible into the central dominance, then had ordered all of them to grow food for the coming winter. Even those Ska who had lived in the cities were well accustomed to hard work, and they quickly did as Elend ordered. Sazed wasn't certain if the people understood just how dire their situation was, or if they were simply happy to have someone tell them what to do. The roadside grew heaped with tall piles of ash. Each day, the Ska workers had to clear away the ash that had fallen during the night. This unending task, along with the need to carry water to most of the new, unirrigated fields, created a very labor-intensive system of agriculture. The plants did grow, however. Sazed's troop passed field after field, each one budding with brown plants. The sight should have brought him hope. Yet it was difficult to look upon the sprouting stalks and not feel an even greater despair. They looked so weak and small beside the massive piles of ash. Even forgetting the mists, how was Elend going to feed an empire in these conditions? How long would it be before there was simply too much ash to move? Ska worked the fields, their postures much as they had been during the days of the Lord Ruler. What had really changed for them?
"Look at them," a voice said.
Sazed turned to see Captain Goradel walking up beside him. Bald and rugged, the man had a good-natured disposition, a trait common in the soldiers whom Ham promoted.
"I know," Sazed said quietly.
"Even with the ash and the mist, seeing them gives me hope."
Sazed looked up sharply.
"Really?"
"Sure," Goradel said. "My family were farmers, Master Terrasman. We lived in Luthadel, but worked the outer fields."
"But you were a soldier," Sazed said. "Weren't you the one who led Lady Vin into the palace the night she killed the Lord Ruler?"
Goradel nodded.
"Actually, I led Lord Elend into the palace to rescue Lady Vin, though she turned out to not need much help from us. Anyway, you're right. I was a soldier in the Lord Ruler's palace. My parents disowned me when I joined up. But I just couldn't face working in the fields my whole life."
"It is arduous work."
"No, it wasn't that," Goradel said. "It wasn't the labor, it was the hopelessness. I couldn't stand to work all day to grow something I knew would belong to someone else. That's why I left the fields to become a soldier. And that's why seeing these farms gives me hope."
Goradel nodded toward a passing field. Some of the Ska looked up, then waved as they saw Ellen's banner.
"These people," Gordell said. "They work because they want to."
"They work because if they don't, they will starve."
"Sure," Gordell said. "I guess you're right. But they're not working because someone will beat them if they don't. They're working so that their families and their friends won't die. There's a difference in that, to a farmer. You can see it in the way they stand."
Sazed frowned as they walked, but said nothing further.
"Anyway, Master Terrasman," Gordell said, "I came to suggest that we make a stop at Luthadel for supplies."
Sazed nodded.
"I suspected that we would do so. I, however, will need to leave you for a few days as you go to Luthadel. Lord Breeze can take command. I shall meet up with you on the northern highway."
Gordell nodded, moving back to make the arrangements. He didn't ask why Sazed wanted to leave the group, or what his destination was. Several days later, Sazed arrived, alone, at the pits of Hathsin. There was little to distinguish the area, now that the ash covered everything. Sazed's feet kicked up clumps of it as he moved to the top of a hill. He looked down on the valley that contained the pits, the place where Kelsier's wife had been murdered, the place where the survivor had been born. It was now the home of the Terrace people. There were few of them remaining. They had never been a very large population, and the coming of the mists and the difficult trek down to the Central Dominance had claimed many lives. There were perhaps 40,000 of them left, and a good many of the men were eunuchs, like Sazed. Sazed moved down the slope toward the valley. It had been a natural place to settle the Terrace people. During the days of the Lord Ruler, hundreds of slaves had worked here, watched over by hundreds more soldiers. That had ended when Kelsier had returned to the pits and destroyed their ability to produce atium. However, the pits still had the buildings and infrastructure that had supported them during their working days. There was plenty of fresh water and some shelter. The Terrace people had improved on this, building other structures across the valley, making what was once the most terrifying of prison camps into a pastoral group of villages. Even as Sazed walked down the hillside, he could see people brushing away the ash from the ground, letting the natural plant life poke through to provide grazing for the animals. The scrub that formed the dominant foliage in the Central Dominance was a resilient, hardy group of plants, and they were adapted to ash and didn't need as much water as farm crops. That meant that the Terrace people actually had easier lives than most. They were herdsmen, as they had been even during the centuries before the Lord Ruler's ascension. A hardy, short-legged breed of sheep mulled about on the hills, chewing down the uncovered stalks of scrub.
"The Terrace people," Sazed thought, "living lives easier than most. What a strange world it has become."
His approach soon attracted attention. Children ran from their parents, and heads poked from shacks. Sheep began to gather around Sazed as he walked, as if hoping that he had come bearing treats of some sort. Several aged men rushed up the hillside, moving as quickly as their gnarled limbs would allow. They, like Sazed, still wore their steward's robes, and, like Sazed, they kept them cleaned of ash, showing the colorful V-shaped patterns that ran down the fronts. Those patterns had once indicated the noble house that the steward served.
"Lord Sazed,"
one of the men said eagerly.
"Your Majesty,"
said another.
"Your Majesty."
"Please," Sazed said, raising his hands, "do not call me that."
The two aged stewards glanced at each other.
"Please, Master Keeper, let us get you something warm to eat."